Crew, we are back on the Well Said podcast, and I'm so excited about today's guest. It's a Minnesota native that you may know. Her name, should I say her name? If you're on YouTube, you're already looking at her right now. Michelle Young is on the podcast. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so fun. You may know her from, I keep wanting to say episodes, season 18 and 25 of The Bachelorette. She's also doing amazing, amazing things with a nonprofit here in Minnesota and all over. And she used to be a teacher in Minnesota too. So she's a Minnesota native. We love a Minnesota native because that's like my base audience. That's my people out there. And I love you everywhere you are. So don't worry. But before we jump into you, Michelle and I share a love for giving advice. So we figured, why don't we start with a little advice segment? I'm going to play it. And then we're going to give advice to this person who needs a little friendship advice, I believe, or a relationship advice, I believe, in this one.
Love it.
We'll see. We listened to like half. Okay, let's listen.
Saying that I love the podcast and I resonate with a lot of the things that you speak about. Like this last week's episode, you talked about feeling pressured into drinking when you're out with a group of friends, and I've definitely been feeling that way lately. I did dry January, it felt really great doing it. Want to continue doing that February, so it's been a little difficult hanging out with some of my friends that like to go out every weekend. But anyway, my advice that I need from you is, me and my boyfriend are 25. We've been together for 7 years. We met our freshman year of college, and we moved in shortly after into an apartment together, and have lived together ever since. So we've talked previously about marriage, and we both want to get married, but the thing is I'm ready to get married now, and my boyfriend says he's kind of ready, but hasn't proposed yet. And so my question is, do you think I should keep waiting, or do you think that a conversation is needed about, like, I don't want to wait forever, and if it's not something that you want to do now, then maybe it's something that, you know.
Okay. You might have initial thoughts. Mm-hmm. 7 years is a long time. She's 25 years old.
Do you consider 18. That old or young?
All young.
I consider that young.
It is still. Young, but 25 years old, but 25 years young. But right. I think she's young to be like, I mean, getting married, I feel like it depends. Minnesota's sometimes a little bit weird. I feel like outskirt cities are sometimes weird too, just in every state where everybody wants to get married at like an early age. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, no shade to that. I think it's a beautiful thing. Just sometimes I think people feel rushed to do it.
Right.
I'm not implying that's how she's feeling, but you know, after 7 years, you should know, right?
Right. So but we don't know, like as she was kind of talking, there's so many pieces that go into like taking that next step.
Yeah.
Cause they already live together. But that next step, especially in how society plays out now, mm-hmm. there's a lot of pressure on the guy to purchase a ring.
Yeah.
And you might have talked about different ring types, but you know, if you want a little bit more expensive of a ring, or there's all these different things in a part. And so like the financial piece, I think really can weigh on the males that has to get taken in consideration.
That's a good point.
I also think that when you're dating for 7 years, there's a chance that someone could have gotten comfortable.
Yeah.
So my question is, if he is still putting in effort, if he's still like showing up for her, are they still doing date nights? Do they feel like, you know, that fizzle is still there? You know, it's not going to be this butterfly moment. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't last forever, right? You kind of go in all these different cycles. But if his intentions are to get to that point, he might need a little extra time, you know, financial situation and work. And like, what is the job life like? There's just so much that comes with that next step that he could potentially just be like stressed out about or so anxious about. And so just I think there needs to be a conversation.
No, I totally agree, but you totally gave me like a different perspective from where I was going. So I like that because it's true. Cause there's a ton of pressure on the guy about the ring.
Right.
Like how, you know, there's like this, like, oh my God, what's it going to look like? What, how big is it going to be? How much money is the person going to spend? Which that would feel terrible. That's an icky feeling. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm with you. Conversation needs to be had.
Right.
I would, if I could, I would ask like a follow-up question to her of like, is he giving effort?
Right.
How is he showing up when you say like, I do want this, like you're my end all, like you're my person. I know that. Like, is that being reciprocated very obviously? Because if there's any sign of like, this is not obvious that he's saying,
yeah,
I completely agree. There might be some conversations you guys need to have. Like,
correct. And like, has he fallen off a little bit?
Yeah.
If he's fallen off a bit, that doesn't mean that the relationship needs to be over. Like, cut him off, right? Send him to the streets. Doesn't need to be like that. You don't want to be on the streets.
Get him out.
You don't want to be on the streets in Minnesota.
No.
On dating apps anyways.
No.
They're absolutely terrible. But
I've heard they're horrid, but
they are. Not the reason to stay in a relationship if it's not working out though.
Yeah, fair enough.
But really just having a conversation, and if his effort is still there and he talks about wanting to have a family, he talks about wanting to take those next steps, I think the question that she needs to ask him is, you know, we really talked about this. I see a future with you. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that. I know that you're not ready for that. What are like the missing pieces?
Yes.
Because then it gives him an opportunity to talk about, okay, like, financially, I want to have a sturdy job so that I feel like I can be in this position to purchase the ring that you've talked about, or the ring, you know,
it's
that kind
of
thing. And if they're purchasing a house together and, you know, just because you get married doesn't mean that you have to have kids right away.
Yeah.
But I think that would honestly put both of them at ease a little bit to have that conversation. Cause it seems like a nerve wracking thing to do. And it is, but like the elephant's already in the room. I'm sure he's probably thinking about it.
He might
feel that pressure if he knows that she's thinking about it. So,
well, and she's saying she's ready. So who knows if she's like at home, like, okay, when is it going to be? When is it going to be? He also maybe could have a ring. We have no idea. We're speculating that like he doesn't want to, or isn't sure when, but he's actually planning on doing it. We don't know.
Best case scenario.
But I would say my only fear in this from like friend situations or things that I've heard from people's write-ins is like, is he all in? You need to know that now. Mm-hmm. So figure that out, have the conversation, be true to yourself. If and when you have to cross that hurdle of like, oh my God, but I've lived with this person, but 7 years, you can have 7 years with another person just like that. So just like remove the pressure of, make sure that you want to get married to him.
Yeah.
And it really truly is him as he is now, not the person you think wants to be, because you never get married to somebody's potential. You get married to the person that's right in front of you.
Absolutely. But if you think about it too, though, 7 years, they're 25 or she's 25.
Oh my God.
Track back 7 years. So they started dating when they were
18-ish.
18. That's like a pivotal age. You're just getting done with college. You still have so much growing to do. Oof. You're still like just coming out of this period of time and you're trying to figure out life. And they went through all these big milestones together. It could be a comfort thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I know. I was going to say that.
So
I'm
it's
not
like,
gonna lie.
Ooh, it's
so
tricky.
I want to learn more. If you're listening and you wrote this in, I would like to called it in. I want to learn more. I want you to tell me more. So please, please give me some follow-ups and we will have the conversation. We will continue this saga, but I think you're okay. You just have to have a conversation and we need to find out a little bit more. If you want to call in, by the way, crew, 612-470-7569, you can call me and leave a voicemail. It rings a long time. I understand that there's no way for me to change it. May change platforms, TBD, but we will figure it out. Either way, call me and let me know. But hi, you're here. That was so fun. I actually love giving advice and I'm so glad you were like, yeah, let's start it off with an advice. How fun is that?
It's literally my favorite part of any radio
show
or podcast. It's just so relatable.
Yeah. And people are like, they can feel human heard. And that's like why I have Well Said in the first place.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have Michelle on because she has done a shift of like her perspective and her life. And more recently, you've told me this too, of like what you've been doing behind the scenes from, oh my gosh, teacher to show to now nonprofit creator and promoter and like pushing this beautiful thing and using your platform for good. But in between there, a lot has happened. A lot. Holy hell. I would love for you to talk to me about like just the initial change of like you went from being a teacher to actually, I don't even know if you applied or if someone applied for you, but like just like that shift from teacher where I'm just living my life in my own bubble to now I'm in the public eye and what the heck is going on?
Yeah. It was a little bit of an abnormal experience, contrary to, you know, like maybe the typical reality TV show experience with The Bachelor, just because we were in COVID.
Oh, and that's so right. It was COVID.
It was COVID literally hit. And so life was just kind of up in the air. I don't know if that made it more difficult, if that made it less difficult, because everything was unknown anyways.
Yeah.
And we all were in like survival mode as it was. Mm-hmm. And so somebody nominated me. I don't know who nominated me.
You still don't know to this day.
I still don't know. We did a little bit of digging, but yeah, we can't figure out who nominated me. I thought it was a spam joke, a scam. And then they just kind of kept hitting me up and eventually responded and realized, oh, this is real.
It's a legit thing.
Legit thing. Kind of figured I was just going to turn it down right away. But like I said, we went into COVID, went into lockdown. We weren't in the classroom and I was able to teach from a distance. So I was able to, you know, take less time off than I would have typically had to.
Yeah.
And it was almost like things kind of fell in a line for me to have that opportunity and it kept knocking. And so I did take it, but it was never something where I'm like, I woke up one day, I'm like, yep, I want to go on The Bachelor. Yeah. I want to be The Bachelorette. Like I watched it, but that's it.
You talked about this when we talked on the phone, like prior to this conversation, about like all the pros and cons that you had to weigh.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you don't know what you're getting into. And you're like, actually, I did do all the thinking and I thought about like what could happen and you know, like the different struggles that you were going to face.
Right. And there's only so much that you can kind of prepare for when you're going into that, those types of circumstances, because social media plays into it. There's things that are out of your control, especially with this particular TV show. There's so many other moving factors where things can get cut or spun to portray something completely different. And so that was probably one of my biggest worries as I was thinking of, you know, you worked hard to have this basketball reputation and just be a good person and all these different things. And it's, you could just accidentally, like non-intentionally get stuck in a situation
that you didn't plan for.
Yeah. But I think what really had me feeling more like I was okay with taking that risk was when I was looking at it, I know you have to sign a contract and it is kind of binding. Like we've all heard of the NDAs and all that stuff like that, but there is nowhere in the contract that says you have to say this, you have to do this. You have to, right?
Like, it's not holding you like exactly to like what you need to be.
It's power of suggestion. So there's going to be producers that ask you to say this. There are going to be times where you might feel like you're baited. It's a huge learning curve, but I went in there and said, okay, I'm just going to follow my gut. I'm going to think for myself. And if there's something that's happening, if there's, you know, a bandwagon where everybody's jumping on it, doesn't have all the information, I was just going to think for myself. And I was like, if I do that, then I should be okay. Unless some fluke thing happens. But I had never been one to fall into peer pressure, honestly. Hence why Joel joined social media so late, is because all my friends are doing it. They were like, you have to get on, you have to get on. And I just really could care less. Eventually made the decision to. But I never really was bothered with that because I knew that somebody could tell me to say something or do something. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's my face that's out there. It's me that did the action.
Oh yeah.
And so it like goes back to like the super cliche thing where your mom and dad or your parents, family say, well, if your friend jumps off the bridge, would you jump off too? And it's like, it was funny because it just kind of, it seems so simple, but it's like, yeah, just think with your own mind, and it's difficult, but
that's how you're going to find success with the show.
That's how I was going to have the most control.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and if I did make a mistake, I made it with having my intentions in the correct place, with me making the best decision with information that I had at that time.
Yep.
And if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. But then at least it was my mistake and I held true to that because I didn't act out of character.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even put myself in the position of being on a TV show. I wouldn't even know how to go about doing that, or like, you know, being there and being like, oh my God, these cameras. And it seems normal because I have the cameras on here, but I control these cameras. Like I can press on and off. I can say, oopsie, I didn't mean to say that. I'm going to delete that.
Exactly.
That's not how this show works. Mm-mm. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And you left, at what point did you leave your teaching job? Because you went into the show, obviously then you'd take a leave of absence. Did you try to go back to teaching after you were done with the show?
So I went on that first season and I came back. And then I finished teaching the rest of that year.
Oh, you did.
And yeah, there were actually two seasons of The Bachelorette. And I said that I'm not going to do a season of The Bachelorette unless it's in the summer, because I had already committed to that year of teaching. And I just didn't want to ditch those students. I felt like I had already committed, but the school year kind of got pushed back with COVID and anything. So that kind of, that's what allowed me to just not miss as much time, but I felt like I couldn't do that twice. And so they wanted to adjust. And so my season was actually during the summer.
Oh.
And so they waited for me to do that so that I was able to have it during like that summer period. And so we filmed during the summer. And then as soon as I got done filming, I legitimately got off the plane. I got home, and then it was like 2 days later, I was in the classroom.
Holy crap.
Taught the whole school year. And so as things were airing, I remember it was like my premiere, and like premiere is usually, it's such a big day. It's all these exciting things.
Fun,
you have
though.
All this press, and I was at teacher conferences
all day.
So I was at, no, they were in the evening. So like I taught all day. And then my, that first episode was airing, and I just remember posting a selfie. Like I'm just like sitting waiting for my last, like,
Teacher conference to be done.
And then it was just so, it was so weird, but it was actually really nice because I felt like I was able to have a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
And so when my phone was down, when I was in my classroom, like I was Miss Young and I had that. And that's kind of what, even though I got to burnout, that's also what kind of saved me a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. How long did you have a sense of normalcy? Like after the, you know, already recorded the show, like, and you're trying to teach, like when did things start to shift? Like when did it start to be like, oh my gosh, my identity is on a show? Like
it shifted actually the moment I got home from the first season when I was on The Bachelor, because when you're there, they release all of the, like the cast list and the contestants and things like that. So, you know, you don't have your phone. The moment you get back to your phone is just like buzzing and going off. And I came back to like 700 something text messages and notifications and things like that, because it was released while you were filming. And so the moment you are going through that, you know, it was COVID. So I had a hat on, I had a mask while I was like traveling through the airport. That was really nice. But you do kind of did start to kind of notice that people were like, oh, double king and things like that. So it did change pretty quickly.
Weird.
Took a leveled up once you are like announced as a lead.
Right.
And everything, because people are invested. And so that kind of took another step up. But yeah, it was wild. And it still is kind of an adjustment. I don't know if I will ever fully adjust with it. And I think that's just because I always like remain that piece of myself, like Michelle from Minnesota.
Yeah. You're here. You're grounded. You know, I feel like most Minnesotans are grounded, like really, truly. So I think you've done a good job of maintaining that, I think.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm like,
so too.
But also I'm a fellow Minnesotan. So I'm like Team Minnesota. So
I love that.
But I still think that. And I think a lot of people think that too. So
yeah, good.
But I just was curious because I'm like, okay, do your, did your friendships change? Did like your, I mean,
so much.
Yeah. Like talk to me about that because I'm sure, I mean, a lot of what we talk about on here is like relationships and and friendships and like how it's hard to make friends in Minnesota. It's hard. Friendships change. Yeah. The period of friendships change. So I just would love to hear your perspective on like what that felt like for you.
What's so weird is I've lived in a few places and I've lived in like South Carolina. I've lived in LA for a little bit. I went to school in Illinois. It's hard to make friends everywhere. I'm a very extroverted person too. Like I'm very bubbly. You seem very much the same, where you can kind of just connect with anybody.
I love to,
yeah,
or try to.
You could connect with a rock if you wanted to.
If I wanted to,
you absolutely. We'd have a great conversation. but yeah, it's just these days everybody seems to be more clicky, and I don't know if everybody's just more guarded or what.
Maybe,
but a little bit of everything. But yeah, friendships definitely change, and I went through. Coming out of COVID, I was teaching, I was balancing the show and that whole thing. I was going through a lot of anxiety stuff. Yeah. I went through a breakup, and this is like all within the span of a year.
I can't believe that all happened under 1 year.
Yeah. And I didn't really realize how much had happened and how many big changes had happened until I sat down and broke down about it to my family one day. Yeah. And my mom was like, look, you need to give yourself a little bit of grace because this happened, this happened, mm-hmm. this happened, this happened. And it was just, when we kind of went through it, I was like, oh shit. Okay, this makes kind of sense. This makes a lot of sense.
Anyone would crack under pressure for that or feel yeah, these things.
Just feel it or just, you know, feel lost at times. And I feel like everybody, even the last few years after COVID, especially as a female, you feel lost because like biological clock is ticking. You have other things. It's like you get, you know, you really struggle with that, especially as a woman. I mean, we went into COVID. I went into COVID when I was 27.
Yeah. I was like, well, I guess what would I have been? 23, 24.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was single when I went into COVID. So I was single and then went through this, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so now there are those 2 years where you're either in a really committed relationship. COVID either made you or broke you.
I know that's the only, I mean, Jordan and I, our relationship accelerated because of it.
Yeah.
But it also could have accelerated things negatively for people or kept you in like a standstill period that you weren't planning on being in your mid 20s, early 20s, late 20s, wherever, 30s, that you're like, what the F? I wasn't out there like meeting people because we literally couldn't be.
You couldn't. And so it's like that.
It's unfair.
It's like that gap.
Yeah.
And so that gap, especially when you're in that prime time of, especially as a female, you're, oh my gosh, biological clock is ticking. I'm up against this. I'm up against this. And I was just, didn't have this time to like meet people or be in certain situations or whatever. Yeah. It just was a lot of stress. So just through those changes, the platform, somebody did tell me, Becca Kufrin, she was the Bachelorette from Minnesota as well.
Oh yeah. She's great.
Yeah. And she had a conversation with me before I stepped into the position or once I knew and had been announced. And she just said, look, your friendships and your circle, it's going to get really small, which I feel like you had that happen when you age anyways.
Yeah.
Like you have, you know, you go through high school, you have your high school group of friends, and then you go to college. And when you go to college, you lose some of those high school friends.
Yeah.
And then you keep in contact with some of them. And then after college, the ones that you remain contact with, you know, a lot of times they remain your great friends or good friends. And then life starts to happen, whether it's jobs, people move away for jobs, people start to get engaged, have a family, settle down, move different places. It gets a little bit harder to connect or just maintain hang out. You can't just drop everything, go hang out because you are now an adult. You have to adult. And so you have more of those friendships drop. And then I feel like as you get into, you know, I'm 30 now, I always knew that the circle naturally, I feel like for 30-year-olds does tend to decrease because you just are less willing to put up with bullshit. But with the platform added into it,
oh my God,
it was just this whirlwind of really kind of navigating who I wanted to be in my life. There were some, you know, people who were in my life that I'm very big on energy and like the negative energy. And I didn't have a lot of energy left. I was going through really trying to like heal from burnout. I was that breakup, all of just life changes, anxiety, stress. I didn't have a lot of energy to have other negative energy sucked out of me. So that did help me make decisions of, you know, you kind of just start spending less and less time with people, but,
and that's okay.
And that's okay.
That's what people have to know and hear is like,
and I was prepared for that. Change. Yeah. And I felt like I was fairly prepared for that. Mm-hmm. But what I wasn't prepared for was the depth of how a social media platform, once you kind of get to a certain level, how much that can really bring out different sides in the people around you. And I've literally never told anybody this piece or this story before and kind of just kept it to myself or just like my close friends and my family and everything like that. But feel not comfortable enough to share here. It was, I think the hardest part for me was you go on a show like that and a lot of times everybody expects you to change. Mm-hmm. And the one thing is I want to change. I always want to change for the better. I want to grow, whether the show or not. But I'm going to come back and I'm still like Michelle, right? Like I give a lot to my friendships. I care a lot about the people who are in my life. I'm very present when I'm with them. I'm not the best at texting back all the time.
Neither am I.
But the people who are in my life understand that that's not it's not personal. Mm-mm. And sometimes I do need a reminder. And same with other friends. Like if I text and reach out and they don't text back, I'll shoot them another text. Hey, just want to check in again. Want to make sure that you're okay.
I'm back.
Like it's not personal, no. Right? It really hit me where, you know, when you're up on this level, if I go to Target, if I go out to the bar, especially in Minneapolis.
I know our city's so small.
There's so many people who come up and are excited to meet you and you want to take a picture. And I was super, super conscious because I want to make sure that everybody feels included.
Yeah.
And I also don't and didn't want my friends or like my family members or whoever I was out with, I didn't want them to feel like they were less important just because I became more of a public figure.
And you got attention. And yeah.
I was so, so careful and like cognizant of that. And I still am. And, you know, I love when fans or supporters come up and talk to me and yeah. I don't mind taking pictures. But one thing I was very careful of is, and still am careful of is, you know, if a group of girls comes up and they're excited and they want to take a picture with me or we're having conversation, I make sure to include whoever I'm with in that conversation because that's really important to me that happens still very frequently. I don't want to just turn my back, right? Because then that every time they go out, okay, well, we're out with Michelle. We know that we're going to have to put up with this. Like there's some factors that we just can't control. We don't know how many people are going to come up. We don't know what kind of attention we're going to get. But, also, you know, they hand over the phone. The person's, you know, my friend is happens to be standing right next to me. And it's natural to be like, hey, can you take a quick picture for us?
Yeah.
And the people who hand the phone to them are excited and they want a quick picture and it seems like a second. But if you're the 50th person that has done that day,
God.
You know what I mean? So I'm very careful of, I grab the phone. Hey, let's all take a selfie together. My friend's in the photo together with us. So it's just making sure that the people in my life feel included in that. And one of my favorite things about being a public figure is you get to do a lot of really cool experiences.
Yeah.
You get to go on trips. You get to do, go to a restaurant and try food. And you know, people want you to have a come in and just experience whatever it is. And I love being able to bring my friends
along
to do those things
you.
Or my family members. Like that's one of the best things is because it's like,
so
we
cool.
can enjoy this together.
Yeah.
Right? But I had a very close-knit group of girls that from high school, from elementary school, and I'm still very good friends with most of them actually. But I did have two particular friends where when I decided to step away from the classroom, I was like toast. Like I was gassed. I just got broken up with. I was going with like healing. I was going through burnout, with teacher burnout, which is like a legitimate medical condition that you have to consciously put steps in place to actually heal and get out of that burnout and couldn't like get back to normal regulation. There's just so much behind it. And that was just that one piece. And so the public really kind of took on this narrative of, oh, Michelle's just, you know, turning into an influencer just like everybody else is this really negative reaction to me leaving the classroom. Like, you're failing the children, like go back to teaching. And there were these really nasty things being said, which,
oh my God,
which it's like, Michelle's just like everybody else, whatever that means. Okay. Whatever that means. But it was just this intense thing because I knew that I would have left the classroom, the show or not. Because you know, financially, you're not making ends meet.
Yeah.
You are not respected. You're not taken care of. The only reason why I was there as long as I was with other teachers as well is because you're there for the students.
Yeah, of course. But that's what your like passion is the people.
Absolutely.
Probably.
But I kind of compare it to like a relationship. Mm-hmm. When you're in a relationship, if you're mentally burnt out, you aren't bouncing back. You can't take care of yourself. You're so stressed out. It's like the education system can kind of be like an emotionally abusive relationship. Why would I ever stay in that?
No.
And I have the right to walk away. I don't want to walk away. And it's heartbreaking for me to walk away. So I was kind of going through the second heartbreak of having to step away from my passion that I went to school for that. I grew up wanting to be the teacher. I put in the work to go through student teaching.
Yeah.
And I got to it. And you can see it now how many teachers are leaving the classroom. Like, it's not just me.
I have friends that are like, or you know, already did. Yeah.
It's not just me. And so I took that, but because I had a platform, because I had this experience, this opportunity, it was like I'm all of a sudden less of a genuine person. Like the Miss Young, the sweet teacher, is all of a sudden not a good person because I left the classroom. And it was difficult and it was frustrating, but I could kind of tune out from it because I knew like that's not correct. And also, sorry, but this is not anything different. Like people have undervalued teachers. This is just an extension of that. Like
it's just a more public example like, of that right. happening.
Yeah. Still pisses you off and yeah. it's still frustrating, but it's like, I went through all of those really difficult days and I was really fighting to keep my head above water. And it was a lot for me to have to step away from that and try to find a new career. Yeah. And yeah, it was really hard. And I had, two of my friends who really jumped on that bandwagon with the public.
On the bandwagon with the public, not with you.
With the public. And okay. there were people who would have stood next to me like during my wedding. They were that close. And it was just, I remember being on FaceTime and kind of really getting like blindsided by this conversation. Both of them were on the same FaceTime. And they just said like, you've changed. Like, I can't believe you're leaving the classroom. And here's the thing, life hit. And so I wasn't yeah. as good at getting back texting. Like I'm not like, I'm a perfect person. I'm not like that. I will own my like yeah. faults, everything. But what I do really focus on is I gave as much energy as I had. I wasn't the warm, bubbly Michelle all the time because I didn't have that energy. I gave what I had left at that time.
Yeah.
And I was still caring. I was still considerate. I was still thoughtful. I still reached out, but I didn't have this overwhelmingly amount of like abundance of love to give out because I was trying to survive myself. And so I really kind of learned which people were going to stick through your low times with you.
That's such a bummer.
And it was really unfortunate. And I think the piece that really helped me turn the corner with it mm-hmm. was when, you know, I'm a big, I'll fight for like friendships. Like we can get into a hard argument, but like I'll stick in it. I'll work it out with you and I'll yeah. duke it out with you. I'm a huge believer of that. My family is like that. And I think that's really important with yeah. friendships. It's not just like tossing him to the side. But in that specific conversation that we had, to have somebody laugh, like I wish I was exaggerating, but to have somebody laugh in my face and just say like that I'm a failure and that I'm leaving the classroom and that I'm just an influencer and that I have less value and that it went to my head and just like speak Excuse all me. Of these nasty things to me. And it's like, why did I just spend the last 20 plus years investing in a friendship? If I told you I'm burnt out, I need to step away. And it was the teaching that was targeted. It was the me leaving the classroom. And it was the people who were closest to me and knew so much about me that the platform had kind of skewed that for them when they weren't even here in Minnesota. They weren't even living in Minnesota. They weren't with me from a day-to-day basis. And like I said, I was trying to keep my head above water and everybody who was here knew that. And I had expressed that. And so I think that was the piece where I typically would be really hurt by that.
Yeah.
But I got to a certain point in the conversation where, you know, they're like, we're putting this friendship down. Maybe we can pick it up later. We can maybe potentially have a conversation with you at a later time. But I said, you know, like I fight for friendships and I understand that you wanted to text back sooner and that, you know, but I'm present with the people in front of me as much as I can be. I've always been that way. And I don't have as much energy because I'm trying to hold on myself. And I've been honest about the mental health struggles and the anxiety. And I was going through a breakup on two sides.
Dude, you have like 10 layers of bullshit going on.
A public breakup. And I'm like, I feel like I'm not over here just complaining like poor Michelle. I was sat back and tried to really listen to them yeah. and what like their concern was. And it was like the fact that they couldn't get over the fact that I left the classroom. And
don't you think they're obsessing over something though that they like can see and it's like what everybody else is saying? So they're like, yeah, yeah, everyone is right. Like,
yeah,
you know, because it's just what was current yeah. and happening, but they needed something to grasp because yeah. there's likely jealousy coming along with that. They yeah. couldn't understand where you were coming from. They were like, well, if you're mm-hmm. burnt out, like come to your closest people. And you're like, but I can barely show up for myself. How am I supposed to show up for
right,
my people?
Right.
And you were honest about that.
I really was. And that's not easy to do either.
No.
But I think the craziest part of it all was just me explaining all of that and really just knowing, and I've already having a hard time with putting teaching down,
yeah,
figuring out my next move. Mm-hmm. So I already had pieces in place to start developing like the impact movement that I created with giving back and using my platform to give back, and with the foundation and building the blueprint of like homework and hoops and working on that. I was doing all that. So when these two people were like, you're not doing anything, like you're just like basically a cop out wasn't the word that was used. I feel like I just like expunged it, pushed it out from my brain, but basically calling me a cop out because it's just like, well, what are you going to do with your life then? And it's like, I'm sorry. I'm allowed to soul search too. I'm not hurting anybody by soul searching. And so that was the moment where I was like, I did this. Like, I'm planning this with the impact. I'm doing this. And like, eyes were rolled.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Scoffs were made. And it was at that moment where I realized, why am I explaining myself? Like, why am I explaining myself to two people who are supposed to know me or at least have the decency to listen to me? And, you know, they said, well, we will let you know. We maybe can have a conversation at a later time. And I was just so off guard. And I just said, if we're not, we can talk about whatever we need to talk about here, but understand that when that door is closed, like it's not getting opened again out of respect for myself.
Yeah.
Because if you're not willing to go through these times where I'm texting back slower or not as bubbly and energetic, or I'm soul searching or taking a minute for my goddamn self.
Or like, understanding that you're battling mental health struggles in a public role.
Exactly. And it was just like, if you can't understand that, then you're not going to be with me when I'm doing those things. And it was just like this, you could just tell that they didn't believe I was going to do any of these things. And I think that's probably why I didn't talk about it until now, is because I just sat with it and I was like, I'm not one to talk about what I'm doing until it's in place. And so it's like, all right, cool. Well, then you'll join the public and you'll hear about it when I get to it. And like now I'm launching Homework and Hoops, and we literally start coaching and learning in less like a week and a half. And
so
it's all these different things. But I remember, not to be dramatic, but I was sitting in my Jeep and I remember setting the phone call down, and you'd think you just burst into tears.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't burst into tears. And I just paused for a second. I don't know if it was because I was like trying to protect myself, but I just paused for a second. And I was like, I know that I've been with these people for a really long time, but that's not deserving of my energy.
No.
And I don't accept that whatsoever, because I know that when I'm at my lowest, I'm still respectful. I'm still considerate.
You're there
and
for your
who
people.
Who are you to like ever tell a teacher that they can't leave the classroom? Goodbye. Like it's 2023, whatever
year it was, close enough.
Whatever year it was, but like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it was just one of those moments where I almost felt lighter, and it was a whole switch for me. And it was the two people that I never really had those issues with. It was the two people that I would always thought would be by my side. And for whatever reason, it came out, and I just haven't looked back, and I never will look back. And I forgive people really quick.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Probably too forgiving, but
I forgive, and I don't forget. And that's cheesy, but
same.
I forgive because I'm sorry, that negative energy is not going to hold me back. I forgive. I might not understand why everything happened, but frankly, it doesn't matter. And you don't have access to that energy anymore. I wish you well. I hope everybody's healthy. Don't wish any ill will on anybody, but yeah, absolutely not.
No one is deserving of that energy. And do you know how many people are listening right now that probably can relate to like a friendship that went like
totally south
that they were, it was unexpected. And you're like, what the hell just happened? And like people not believing in you, people not having you standing by your side. I've talked about this on other episodes of like low maintenance friends and knowing when to say goodbye. Like it sometimes is the long drawn out, like, point of drama. And you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And you feel that weight lifted. But sometimes it is being slightly blindsided in some way, shape, or form, like this situation that you had, where it's okay to get rid of those people in your life. If that's going to drag you down or they're going to fight you when you're struggling the most that you've ever struggled and just trying to stay afloat and learning who you are, which is, I think everybody can relate to at some point. Good riddance.
And just
see you later.
Talk about being a leaf in the wind. Jeez. Like, you don't have to know. You don't have to know what you want to do. And it's okay to try something and not like it, or try something, be passionate about it and get burnt out and want to adjust. Like, that is 100% okay. I would tell anybody, if you're struggling, like if your job is making you miserable and you're not able to keep your head above water, get out. You have the right to do that. It is your life to get out. And there's nobody who can tell you that that's the wrong thing to do and that you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you ultimately get to decide. And I think that kind of is what showed me how bad I really wanted to start the foundation, wanted to do the homework and hoops. It's because the public was doubting me. I knew what I was doing behind the scenes, but you have articles, you have tabloids, you have all this other bullshit that's being put out there of, oh, she's not doing this. And oh, she's just in the influencing game, because they're not seeing the time I'm putting in. But I wasn't sitting there and videoing me filling out the paperwork and on all the meetings. Like, I didn't talk about it because I was working it out.
Yep.
And I was still identifying and wanting to make sure that my energy was focused on that. And so I did that behind the scenes. I prefer to be like a silent workhorse behind the scenes. And then we launched, and it was just like, I had to stay true and like look myself in the mirror. And there were a lot of low times where I had to give myself a pep talk and just know that, okay, shit, well, you had these friends bail on you because they didn't believe in you. And then, you know, there's people in the public who keep still will comment like, go back to teaching. And it's just like,
okay, Karen from your basement, please, with
like,
that.
Can't. It's just like, at this point, you're wasting your energy. Like, it just, at this point, it doesn't affect anything. It has made me tougher, but it has showed me like what I really want. Cause shit, I don't give a shit if you don't believe in me. Like, cool. You're not in my support system then. Like, that's totally fine. Like, goodbye. But yeah, it's been interesting, and it's really had me kind of guarded too with friendships that I let in.
I'm sure it does.
And all of that too. And I'm sure you can attest to that just as you get older, of just what you're willing to put up with. And
I mean, yeah, you don't put up with the bullshit anymore. You're growing and changing, but that took time to develop. And like, how, I guess even talking to these guys who are listening, is like, how do you brush off the hater comments, the BS, the like energy, negative energy for you getting from the public, for any of these people, like people doubting them at work, friends doubting what they're doing. Yeah. Like, how do you get rid of that and keep moving forward in your life?
I think it's really unrealistic to say that you're never going to be affected by it. Everybody's human. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to be really tired. You're going to be getting over a cold or like a sickness, and then it's going to hit, and you're not going to just like punch through and be perfectly fine, right? There's times where it's going to knock you down, but your job is to not stay down. And so I think I've done a very good job for the most part with social media and like hate comments, because when it comes down to it, it's like, if you're taking time out of your day, I've never written anything nasty or like a hate comment or just Reddit or whatever. People, I'm not on Reddit, but people will send me Reddit threads, which is like things that
why are they sending it to you? Do you want to see that? You probably don't.
No, you don't. But again, people are weird, and they're like, let me send it. People are talking about you, and it's like, I know that you care, and I really appreciate that you care about it, but like, I literally could care less. So you don't need to send me anything on Reddit unless it's like something I really, really need to know. But other than that, it's just like, I could never imagine going and writing something about somebody, like taking time out of my freaking day. If I don't know, if you're on some other world, like whatever it is, time frame where you actually have time to do that.
I don't know how people would have time to do that, but I understand what you're saying.
I literally, and when you do, it's such a reflection of you.
Of course it is.
It's like, cool, got it. Like, it's just, it's so sad. And it's like, at the, when it comes to the end of the road and everything like that, sit with that.
It's like a reflection of them.
Sit with that. Like, that cannot feel good. I know that it feels good temporarily, but like,
to get a rise out of somebody. Right. Like, I mean, that's so messed up.
Yeah.
I just think, I think a lot of people hate because they're hurt or they're bothered. Like in real life, like think about why would any of your friends be hating? There's jealousy, there's hurt. There's maybe like people are advancing and I'm not. They have something that I want.
Yeah.
And I think that stands true with social media too, but I think there's this new barrier of like, I'm behind a screen. Safety of a fake username and fake image.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Who cares? I'm going to say whatever the hell I want to get a rise out of people. Mm-hmm. It's the same, similar, like messed up behavior. But I mean, props to you for pulling yourself out of it and being able to still like battle all of that.
Yeah.
Find yourself after a public breakup, which I can't even imagine how that went. And you've talked about it a million times. So I'm not even going to go there, but I'm just saying, like battling all that. And then mental health in a nutshell, and I don't know how open you are with all of that, but like I've struggled with really bad anxiety. I've gotten hate and I wasn't on a TV show. I'm just like a little podcast from Minnesota and the hate sucks. And I've gotten over the hate part. I think you just kind of get over it. You realize that it's a small personality from a phone and you're like, okay, yeah, you think my hair looked bad. I don't really don't give a shit.
Right.
But my anxiety is probably the worst it's ever been to even right now. Like last night I had a panic attack. Don't even know why.
Oh,
it just came on. And I think it's coming from being, I think from my body being sick and getting food poisoning and like coming back from all of that. But like, I can't add, or excuse me, even think about adding the element of like, I'm battling my mental health, trying to show up for everybody. Cause you as a public figure have to like show up in real life, like when you go out anywhere, like someone could walk up to you, or just trying to show up on your social media while you're battling finding yourself.
That is, you hit that kind of right on the head. It's just, I have been a little bit open with my anxiety and my struggles with anxiety.
Need to dive deeper
and anything, like we can say that for another day, but I did go through this period of time where I had to like stop work. And with my anxiety, I would like physically vomit and throw up. Which is not great when you have like a vomiting phobia.
Oh God, no.
So I had to like go to therapy and like figure that piece out, because I would be like vomiting several times a day and we didn't know what was going on. And I was at the Mayo Clinic and like University of Minnesota doctors didn't know what was going on, because I was just so used to putting on a face with like basketball, rub some dirt on it, right? Yeah. Like you could be stressed, but I didn't actually address my stress long enough. And it became so toxic to my body that the only way that I would actually deal with it is if I got physically sick.
That's crazy.
So it was like my body's way of eventually, after like months and months of testing, it was like our last, you know, I was about to put a body bag or a body bag. Good God. Sorry. I'm sorry. Look, back up real quick. No.
You're like reverse.
No, I mean, it was really bad. But a food bag in, because I couldn't keep anything down. I was losing weight and it got really scary. And I just, I had to move back into my parents and it was so sick. And so I crawled out of that and really like, I know that. And I know how low that was and how scary that was. And a lot of it had to do with a toxic relationship too at that time and getting through that. And so I think once I got to this piece where there's people saying things online, I'm like, you have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea. So it's just like, I'm not even let you hold weight with that. And so I just never really respond to it. There's some times where I'll, you know,
you don't need to,
whatever, but like, it's also funny too, because half the time when it's like someone who's hating on my page or says something really nasty, you go to their profile and they're like a mental health coach. And they're like, they have like quotes, phrases, everything like that. Nothing on mental health coaches. There are phenomenal ones out there.
Yeah, we know,
but
you're
it's
not
just,
saying that.
No, but it's just like the delusion. So like a lot of times I'll just pick the first, you know, there's like one lady now, I eventually block them once they keep, you know, coming back and coming back. It's like, okay, like, let's just be done with you. But, you know, a lot of times I'll go to their page and I'll just pull a quote that they just recently posted or like something that's in their bio about lifting others up or whatever it is. And then just like throw it back, whatever is relevant to the comment would make sense. And so it's just like, you just kind of throw their own medicine and teaching back at them. It's like, maybe that will register like your own words.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, you're not even following your own. Yeah. It's so
crazy. That
is
so messed
up. The delusion.
I mean, I've had people make fake accounts and like try to rip on me, but sometimes the delusion is you follow three people and two are like a weird political thing and one is a person. Do you wonder who this person is?
Right.
I wonder if that person is you.
Right.
And then I use their first name and they about shed their pants and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, don't ever talk to me like that. And I don't get that all that often. It's not like that, but just still, people.
But the fear of that. And that's kind of something that I'm curious for you is just how do you get over posting things that are outside just a highlight reel or posting outside of the good times? Because when you're going through a really difficult time, for me, it's not really natural to be like, let me take to social media.
Yeah.
And there's times where I'm like, okay, maybe that would be beneficial. It's kind of jumping off a cliff, like as far taking a huge leap of faith, I guess is a better way to say it for me. But it's like you see people who do that and they get eaten alive because it's like, oh, you're telling a sob story. You're looking for attention. And then you have people who are like, I really appreciate that. That resonated with me, that helped me through and feel less alone. So like, what are your thoughts on how you balance showing, like sharing the positive, like the amazing moments, but then also like when you're really struggling, talking about that or getting over that hump of like, it's okay to share when you're not doing well and it's okay to like not be perfect.
I like that question. And personally for me, there's two parts. It's like one, if I can help anybody, that's a win because the negative comments, you can sift through them and you're like, okay, shut up, stop following me then. Who cares?
Right.
Those people that you helped are the ones that matter. They're the ones that needed to hear you. They're the ones that maybe needed to hear your experience to push them forward and make them feel like human or okay. And I also try to reframe it as like, when I'm telling something about how I feel or if I'm struggling or something, I always try to frame it as like, here's what I'm doing to try to figure out like how to get back on track or like, here are the things that like really help me when I feel in this hole. Like I need to retract. I need to have my sleepy time mocktail. I need to get my sleep figured out. Yes. Like just like giving people tools. Cause then it's less about look at me. I'm sharing my story of struggles.
I like
and more
that.
About I'm struggling right now. I'm being honest with you. I'm not asking for anything. I'm going to tell you these are the things that I use to help or work on it.
And it kind of holds yourself accountable too, because then it puts you in the position to like refocus on those. I actually like that. I feel like I need to try that just because
I think you'd be good at it
too. I have a hard time with, I mean, I share moments, but I'm more like share embarrassing moments or just like where I'm just a complete basket case, like drinking 2-day-old Starbucks in my car and getting food poisoning or like, you know what I mean? Or just like, I do have moments where like I went to drop a package off.
What?
And you like drive there and I got a panic attack and I like sat there. I'm like, I can't bring the packages in. Like, I don't know what, I just couldn't do it. I had so much anxiety and they were packages where like from like ThredUp where you have to get them in there for a certain time. And I'm like, if I don't bring these in the door right now, then I'm going to have to order new bags. But like when you have anxiety, I'm like, I don't care. I'll pay off.
Who cares how much money?
I don't care. I don't care. So it was just like sharing those moments where it's just small moments of panic or that are relatable. But like when you're truly having a hard time.
Sharing that.
It's hard to talk about that. I talk about it after the fact, but not
in the moment. I don't think you can give yourself so much grace in the moment, I think. And it's only how you organically can show up. Cause I think you can attest to this too, is like, sometimes I do want to retract and go in my hole. And sometimes that is what's going to heal me. And sometimes it's not what's going to heal me. So it's hard to like balance the, like, I want to retract. I want to retract. I have the hiccups cause I'm drinking my poppy, by the way. That's why I have hiccups.
Poppy for the win.
Poppy for the win. Always. Duh.
Sponsor Sid.
Sponsor me, please. but I'm like, I want to retract. I want to go in my hole. It's going to keep me safe. It's quiet. But sometimes then it makes climbing out of the hole 10 times harder. So when you're able to getting on there and sharing, because that's a part of your life. Right. But it's not, I just want to tell you, this is like, you can handle sharing your life the way that you want to share it. It's
exactly
your life to share. Mm-hmm. It's your platform to utilize. Nobody has a say over how you utilize it. Mm-hmm. We only lose when we're in the comparison game, because every day I beat myself up on me not sharing enough on social media, not posting enough on my podcast. And I'm like, for fucking what?
Right.
Like, I'm doing the very best that I can.
Absolutely.
Like, I need to just be like proud of myself for 2 seconds.
I love that. I'm laughing because I was in that mode the other day, mm-hmm. just the whole comparison thing, right? And social media, God. It just doesn't matter how confident of a person you are. It gets to you and it does impact your mental health.
I know.
And it's hard when it's a part of your job and it is a part of business and it is phenomenal to connect with people, but it does really take a toll and it's really hard to maintain balance.
Yep.
It's like a swinging pendulum. But there was this one quote that I think I was just having a hard day and I was scrolling, you know, didn't want to get out of the car yet. When you pull up and get home, it was this woman. She's like, when I'm really stressed out, I just remember that we're on a damn floating rock.
Wait, I love that.
We're on a damn floating rock.
I've heard this one before too.
And I'm stressed out. I don't know how she put it, but it was just kind of funny. It did have me laughing.
Was it a TikTok?
I think it was a TikTok.
Yeah. I think I saw it. I think I did. I remember.
And you're like, damn floating rock. I'm like, wow.
Nothing matters.
It really doesn't.
Dude, nothing matters. I mean, things matter, but like,
yeah,
take a second and take a breath. And I think you've done, I think you've done a great job. You need to give yourself some credit and some ease.
I appreciate that.
And also, nobody needs to know the hustle that you put behind the scenes. You don't owe anybody that. You're doing it for you and you're doing it for the kids that you're going to impact. Mm-hmm. So it's like, own that. Haters will hate. They're always going to be there.
Right.
No matter.
They'll never
and
be
remember,
happy.
We all have haters. And I think even people out there that you're like, I even feel haters with like my friends or like underlying hate feelings. And you're like, why do you despise me? Or why are you bothered by me so much? Remember what you're doing for you. Remember why you're on the path that you're on.
Yeah.
You're in control of that path. You know what I mean?
I'm like, I must be doing something right. If you're over here pissed and still tuning in.
That's what I'm saying.
It's such a balance in it. Even when it comes to like relationships and balancing social media and sharing that. Cause like you said, I need to be better about sharing moments where I am struggling in the moment and not always giving grace, but with relationships and things like that, that's a lot of things that I've seen where you have these couples who it's all happiness, it's fun and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden they break up and you're like, wait a second, I just watched a TikTok like that was posted a few hours ago and you guys were like, look like you're madly in love. And so that's
confusing.
Something now that, you know, I have somebody who's in my life and with Jack and he's very new to social media, kind of like I was. It's been wonderful because he loves being creative with me. He's so go with the flow. Poor man just puts up with however many pranks. I'm so sorry, Jack, but he's just so great with it. And
you guys
he
are
is
very
just,
cute.
Thank you. And it, but it is new to him too.
Yeah.
And I feel protected because I don't want him to go through like the same hardships of like people putting him down and people are just going to say shit. And it doesn't really, you know, things don't really get to him. And a lot of people, there's really nothing bad to say about him, but with just the pressure on our relationship.
Yeah.
And it was a conversation that we have often. It's a conversation actually that my mom asked us about, how do you plan to like maintain your relationship and keep that close when you do post? And, you know, how does it not become a job?
Yeah. I'd be curious how you guys navigate that.
Yeah. And a part of a social media is like, you have to show up and you kind of have to show up every day. And that's just, that's part of it. And you can kind of decide how you show up. Mm-hmm. But with Jack and I, we were talking about it is that there are going to be days where, you know, we plan to do this TikTok or we plan to do this date and showcase it on TikTok or on social media. And we generally really enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. But we have days where, especially me, who I'm doing the editing, and you know, I'm on my phone a lot already with doing other editing, brand editing. You're just on your phone responding to comments, you know, interacting with your community, but then just work and brand deals and running homework and hoops and that whole thing online.
Oh,
everything is so public and online and on your phone is that there are days where I'm like, Jack, I want to do this activity with you, but I want to do it with like cameras off.
No phones.
So I have the right to say that. He has the right to say that. Ultimately, that means like our relationship will always come first. So if we're burnt out, if we're feeling a little bit off or we're just exhausted, it's like the camera doesn't come first.
I love
right?
that.
Right. And we both have, not like a code word, but we both have the understanding that, you know, if we're off, that's okay. And when we're doing something, we're doing a funny trend or we're trying to, you know, do like a voiceover. We did this voice, the food voiceover on TikTok, y'all. Yeah. I cannot tell you how long that took us.
Oh, Jesus.
Because we went halfway through it and we were in Miami where we just ordered sushi to do this TikTok. We hardly even ate the sushi because it was so frozen cold.
Oh my God.
After we were done filming it, we stayed up until like 3 a.m., had to get on another flight to like, we were going to like a sandals resort the next day. And I got halfway through it and we lost all of it.
TikTok crashed. No, stop. Oh my God. Don't say that. I've had that happen before. It's
And I just put my head down.
I would have cried.
Like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I was just like, okay, this is the part of it. And Jack was like, do you really want to do it? And I was like, I think, yes, I think it's really funny. I think this is a perfect situation to do it. Yeah. We have it all set up. We already put this much time into it. And he's like, okay, let's start over. Let's knock it out. And he was just so positive about it. And I was frustrated. And then there's a time where like, you know, you're trying to do a voiceover. You're not going to hit your lines perfectly. Okay. Like it'll happen. Part of it. But like, we just don't get frustrated with each other. I got frustrated with TikTok, get frustrated with the app, but like, we don't get frustrated with each other. And we're very, very careful to protect that.
I love that.
And I think that's huge. And it takes a lot of discipline.
Of course it does. It takes a respect, lot of though, too.
Discipline. Yeah, but it's like, again, floating rock on TikTok.
We don't need a floating rock.
Like, we don't need to be fighting about it. We're just doing this casually for fun. So the moment it stops becoming fun is the moment that it gets put down.
Good for
and
you.
And that's what comes first. And we definitely have open conversations about it.
Music to my ears.
You know, and I'm very adamant of when the camera turns on, it don't change.
Yep.
You know, because like sometimes the camera turns on, it's like you want to be like all of a sudden, like you want to be different. And I'm like, Jack, people are going to love you exactly for who you are. And we'll catch those moments. People will be able to see that, the genuine nature of it. Like, you don't need to, don't change anything.
You're good.
Just be you. Because, you know, then you like build that whole thing. And you turn on the camera and all of a sudden, like both of y'all are acting different. Mm-hmm. No, like I think what we have is really special. And I think people can relate to a lot of the things that we talk about or do just joking around with each other. And so it took a minute to get used. Like, it's not always comfortable being in front of a camera.
No, it's not.
Right. And like shy and everything like that. But I think honestly, like the pranking and stuff, me catching him off guard and then just him seeing people's response to it, of him just being him and that's him cute. Responding naturally, has also kind of showed him of like, okay,
I can just show up as me.
Show up as me, which he would do anyways. But yeah, it just takes the pressure off a little bit.
It does. And you guys are good about having that balance of like having that, okay, if this becomes no fun, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
We're putting the phones away. I think it's a good reminder for everybody out there too, of like, even when you want to share a date moment or share on your social media, or like you're putting pressure on yourself, like we got to get a good picture. Like, it's our anniversary. I have to post. It's like, take a second and ask yourself if it's going to deter the experience or the moment that you're trying to live in or be in with your person or friends, whoever it is that going to ruin the moment? Is that going to pull away from it? Is that going to, you know, create tension because you didn't get a good picture and now you're bothered? It's right. Like, that's not worth it. Life is about living. Like, for God's sakes, live your life and stop letting the phone and the social get in the way of your relationships.
Right.
As long as you can do it in a healthy way and show up however you need to show up with it, I think that's a win. And that's my rule. That's my rule too.
Snap to that. Yeah. Literally. Cause I mean, what you're going to be whenever you get to the end of the road sitting there, oh yeah, that one time I posted on TikTok or one time I posted this picture on whatever. Like, no, that's not what you're going to be thinking about. You're going to be thinking about the experience. No. And I think it's a perfect situation to, we say, good enough.
Yeah, good enough.
And it seems really weird, right? Because it's you should always give your best effort. And it's in those situations, like you said, if it's going to take away from the experience, good enough in social media days, especially, like I've learned, it is your piece a lot of times. Because one, nobody else knows what other pictures were even the option.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so like we sit there and go back and forth. Like I'll go back and forth between two pictures.
My arm is low and then it's high, and then it's low.
High, right? And you're just like flashing it and then you're going through like the live photos and trying to find the perfect one. You can spend hours doing that, or spending hours finding the perfect photos for the carousel and what order they should go in because there's supposed to be an order. And then like the caption and all these different things. And it's like you spend so much time doing that. Did you enjoy the moment? Like, was it actually worth that? So it's like, we do good enough.
I like good enough a lot.
Good enough. Because you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can capture a good moment, but that's not the point. And yeah, you're not going to take the perfect picture all the time.
No, never. It's honestly, I'm like, I never do. I know. Even right now, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, I'm in an orange, literally a bright orange neon orange sweater. And my hair looks insane. I don't even care. I'm like, who cares? Who freaking cares with the freaking rock?
I literally love it.
What would you say to somebody? Because I think everybody almost wishes they were in the public eye. They wish they had a platform. They mm-hmm. wish they were a social media influencer. I think that we've learned, or hopefully a lot of people have learned, I definitely have, that it's actually not all that. It's not this like amazing mm-hmm. thing you should strive for you. You're using it for good and striving for giving back to your community.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to people who are like, no, but I just want to be an influencer. Like, I know that it'd be like the end all be all.
I think it's your reasoning of where you want to be and why you want to be there. So there's a lot of people who look at influencing because the fame and the attention and the likes. And it's like, is that really where your values are? You know, what does that actually hold? It's more of what you're doing. Like, cool, we can all post a trend, but I've always said, what do you stand for when the trend's over? Trends are always going to pass. And with just social media and that public eye, I've always said, okay, I can handle the public eye. Mm-hmm. It's not fulfilling. So if the public eye goes away, all goes to shit, am I still going to know who I am? Am I still going to have, you know, my value? I'm still worthy of things. I'm still deserving of things. And so I think that's the right mindset, or that's my belief, that's the right mindset to have. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people who want to go into influencing because they love the creativity and the film aspect behind it.
Which I understand.
And the vlogging behind it and the editing and the just the leeway or the opportunities. So I totally understand that. And influencing has a huge negative connotation.
Yeah.
But there's also like positive influencing, right? Influencing could be you're positively influencing somebody to do something. Mm-hmm. It's motivational speaking. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of what society and trends have made influencing become. And there are a lot of like, especially even like youth and things, a lot of people are getting into it because they want to be famous. They want to be well known. They don't care what it's for, you know, and that's a whole different conversation. But with my piece with the public eye of kind of why I sit of I can handle it, but it's not what fulfills me. It's not my purpose mm-hmm. is that I don't have a choice. You can't really go backwards. Once you're in the public eye, you're in the public eye. So I could sit here and panic that I can't go backwards. And like, that's a waste of energy because there'd be a lot to panic about. And frankly, I can't do anything about it. But I really focus on what pieces of social media I like, mm-hmm. And what is the most meaningful pieces to me. And so me is being able to interact with people mm-hmm. and connect and relate and change people's lives and inspire them.
Yeah.
And just kind of build a community where people feel included and they feel seen and helping people. And I think that there's so many different ways that that can kind of transpire. And there are cool opportunities that come with that for traveling. And that's a passion of mine, traveling. So that's a part of it too. But
I love that.
Yeah. But it's hard to balance with it because there's times where you do have to look at like analytics and statistics and all this other stuff and, you know, growing platforms. You want to grow your community. You want to mm-hmm. reach as many people as possible. And it's tricky to separate that.
I bet it is, but you're doing it. I just wanted people to hear from you that it's like, this isn't just as easy or as like glamorous as it looks, which you just alluded to. It's like, it's the pieces that are fulfilling are actually like sister to this thing that you got and that you're like a part of now. It's not the attention that you get when you're walking around mm-hmm. or like the attention online. It's not all that.
It isn't. And it really does impact people, everybody in your life.
Yeah.
It's impacted my friends positively and negatively. It's impacted my family positively and negatively because we can't just go out for dinner without, you know, somebody a lot of times coming up to interrupt or, you know, not in a rude way, but just to say hello. And I love that. And I do love talking to those supporters and things, but it is hard sometimes for me, or I feel bad because it's like, this is my decision. And mm-hmm. then other people are being impacted by it. And you really do have to think a few steps ahead of if I do this or if I respond in this way, and it's reflected in a negative way or somebody catches it and twists it and blasts it on a tabloid. Like, tabloids are all for the clicks.
Of course.
So there's been times where like there's a bogus tabloid, right? And it's like, I feel bad because like my mom and dad have to deal with that they know, and they're not impacted by it at all. But again, it's like your family and your friends are impacted by all of your actions, and you see it and they feel it a lot more when you're in the public eye because it can just go south real quick.
I know that's, Lord have mercy. I don't want to stand this very long at all, but I was going to say, you've set a boundary of like at the gym, like not having people like taking pictures with people because it's the gym, right? It's your space. It's my like mental space. Your one boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I realized that, especially once I gave teaching up, I didn't really have a place outside my house that was my mental health space. I'm very extroverted. If I stay in my house for one full day and I, you know, I'm still learning how to work from home and trying to go to more coffee shops so that like I'm out in public and around people, because I'd be like, the world is ending. I feel super low, super anxious, and I don't know why I feel that way. I start questioning everything and say, oh, I just haven't left my house in 48 hours. And so I needed a safe space where I could go. And I didn't want to, it's such a tug and pull of like, someone comes up and that's the only time they might see you. So they're really excited. You don't want to turn them down. And I want to be able to do that for them. And that's part of it. And I wouldn't be where I am without my fans and supporters. Absolutely love them. Genuinely like love connecting with everybody. But I was like, the gym is my mental health space. You go there, whether you're swimming, whether you're working out, whether you're, you know, yoga, sauna, getting ready for the day. I'm like, that's my place where I'm not going to take pictures.
Yep. You're allowed to that.
I'm not going to take pictures. I also have a conversation. So if you come up and say hi, I've paused my lift before and I've had conversations with people. But, you know, when they're like, can we take a picture? I just kind of explain, sorry, I've kind of just labeled my, you know, gym as like my mental health space. It's the only place where I just really, it's just my time. And so I love talking to people. I've loved talking to you, but I have a rule with myself that I don't do pictures. So that's that piece that has really been protective of myself and set a boundary.
You need to do that though. Yeah, I'm glad that you do that.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to talk about like where your safe spaces were and why you've like set those up, because it's important to do that.
It is. And then kind of my family and friends safe spaces, that if we're out for, you know, if I'm at a wedding and we're celebrating somebody, or we're out for a bachelorette party, or we're out for like my dad's birthday, you know, people don't always know that, and they'll still come up and ask for a picture. And I just will say, you know, like, today our focus is really around this couple. I want to make sure that the focus stays on them. So I'm not doing any pictures today, but thank you so much for your support. So yeah, I really make sure that like the weddings and all those different things, that it still stays about the couple, or it stays about that person that we're there to celebrate. And because it could easily just become about, you know, me, and I don't want that. So that's kind of like the boundary that I set for my friends and family. And they know that too, now that when we go out to celebrate something for somebody else, that's kind of
that's
conversation.
A beautiful thing. I think that's a beautiful thing. You've done I think you've come so far and like just like made change and like, you know, set boundaries and like seen where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. What are you doing now? What's next for you? Cause we didn't even talk about your, and I know we need to get you out of here of the time.
No, we're totally fine.
But what's next? And tell me about your foundation, all the things that are happening with that.
So I just launched the Michelle Young Foundation, and we are legitimately starting in a week and a half. It came up so fast, but then it didn't at the same time, because I've been working on this for like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And so we're launching a homework and hoops program so it's for underprivileged students, where they are going to have an opportunity. It's fully accessible, meaning everything's paid for. So like transportation, materials, gear, basketball gear. And so we are partnering with the YMCA and the Beacon program at a school in South Minneapolis. And the first portion, homework portion, because student athlete, that school comes first. Very much sure that we're prioritizing that, but we'll do skill work and math and literacy, since those are two areas where underprivileged students are falling even further behind after COVID, and just retention. If you think of like online learning, you know, fifth graders, elementary students, just students in general are not all fit to learn online, and everyone's in survival mode. So even our, you know, mainstream students fell behind and are behind the bar. And so you can imagine underprivileged students who typically come from difficult home life, single mothers, and, you know, are really helping out around the house, don't have that person to sit down and help them with the homework, or they're helping their siblings. So there's been an extension of that gap. It's gotten pretty huge. So this program is, we're bringing learning coaches. I'll be coaching, as well, and teaching as well. But that first portion, math and literacy, targeted help, they get homework help as well. We're bringing student teachers from the community, from the high schools. College students can get college credit with working with homework and hoops. And then the second part of it is that they get to go into the gym and they get to learn how to play basketball. So it's pretty cool. We have a lot of role models come in, kind of partnering, working with Timberwolves, the Lynx, using my connections with them to create an experience for the students, have role models, different players from different even local schools, colleges come in and help coach the students. So it's kind of like that full community experience where, you know, the student teachers get to learn and have that volunteering opportunity. You know, the bigger role models that are already in the community, well established, they get a chance to give back, kind of lift that up. And then those students get to interact with them and look up to them. And then at the end of the program, we'll turn around and go watch a game. So they get to see some of the role models that they worked with, looked up to through the program, get to, you know, play ball and kind of see all of those different things. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
All the work you've been putting in, who freaking cares about the noise? Because doing something beautiful.
Absolutely not.
Who cares?
Absolutely not.
This is just, that's going to be amazing. Yeah. You're launching in a week. So a week and a half. So when you guys hear this, it'll probably be live. So go check it out and give love and support if you can. Donate if you can, all of the things, because that's amazing. Good for you. You need to like give yourself a pat on the back for creating this.
I know. I'm trying to be like present, and I already have had a talk with myself about I need to remember to pause and just look to see we're here, you know, because like I'm very much on to the next. But like life's now, this is kind of where we wanted to get. And so now it's all happening and it's really exciting. And you can donate at the MichelleYoungFoundation.org. There's a donate button. And like financially, if you can't donate, I'm a huge believer of, you know, speaking about the things that you believe in when the other person, the other organization's not in the room. So if it's something that you really connect with, what we're doing, we'll have volunteers that can come in. There's a volunteer sign up, but just kind of uplifting, spreading the word that also goes just as far. So
I love
it. We're really excited. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be very special. So
I love it. I'll link it in the bio or in the episode, like body copy and everything like that too. So don't worry. I'm proud of you. Like this is truly like the definition of using your platform for something though.
Yeah.
Like truly, like that is so cool.
Yeah. It's like the positive side of influencing.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
it really
is. Positive influence. And like, influence doesn't always have to be a negative thing. So it's kind of what resonates with me
and the impact you're going to create and the immediately on our community and everything like that. Like that's so cool. And maybe this will expand into other communities hopefully down the road.
So we're starting in Minnesota, just Minnesota's home. It's where a lot of my networking connections are.
Yeah.
And that's why we're piloting here, but we do have our license for California and then applying for like an international license. So as we are financially allowed to kind of expand and things like that and make sure that it's staying sustainable, we'll be able to expand worldwide. So,
cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
God.
That's exciting.
That's amazing. I'm like, I'm wowed. I'm like, I want to learn more. I want to be a part of it. I want to donate. I want to do whatever I need to do.
I would love that. So it's been quite a journey and I've learned a lot about the nonprofit world. Oh
yes,
my gosh.
I'm sure you have.
It's crazy.
You have had a journey just from like, oh my God, like we just like kind of went through all of it, like teaching to that show, to after the show, to all the things, to the battle, the uphill, the downhill, the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever given anybody like a timeline like that.
Yeah. But it's so cool. It was so interesting. And like, I'm thought provoking to hear. And like, I'm like, oh my God, I want to ask you questions. I want to like hear about it.
Cause I could talk to you for hours.
I know. That's, I also could just talk for hours too. So I'm like, oh my God, I need to shut up and get Michelle out of here. She's God. But thank you for sharing and being open and talking about all the things, the good, the bad, the ugly, because I think people listening are going to feel the impact and they're going to be able to take things away, really tangible takeaway things. Because even if you're not somebody with a platform, having that understanding of like, wow, people who I look up to are actually having things that go on that don't feel good too, you know, like they're battling things too, or they had to get rid of friends or, you know, old relationships. And like, I can do that too.
Absolutely.
I can be that. I can empower that energy or like take on that energy and I can do the same because I owe that to myself.
Oh yes, absolutely. And just, we do not all have it together. I definitely do not have it all together.
Me either.
I don't know if we ever will, you know? What is all together?
I don't know. All I got to say is floating rock. That's all I got to say about that. I'm like, I'm done.
Anytime. Yes, I hope. If you take anything from this, you know? Floating rock. Anytime you're struggling. We on a floating rock, y'all. It's not that serious, you know?
Is there anything that you wish to say that you didn't say, or like something you want to leave listeners with that are maybe in their 20s, 30s, 40s, wherever they are in their life that you want to leave them with?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned these past few years is learning to just take a pause. And life is so fast. We're always focused about the next thing. And especially when we're really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. it's not a feeling that we want to sit in. But it's an okay thing to sit in it. And that's what I've really learned, is to sit in my discomfort.
Yeah.
And to experience that, because as you take a moment to like deal with that and process that, it does make the good times and the happier times a little bit more sweeter. And when you just slow down and take a pause, I think the things that really matter to you become more clear. And it gives you a better like sense of self. It gives you a little bit more of like direction.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel as lost, and just being able to be more present, because you're always trying to get to the next thing. And it's like, well, life's right here. Life's right now. And so it's like you get to the next thing and then you want to bounce to the next thing. And it's like you are going to get to the end of the road and then you didn't enjoy anything in between. So just really pausing and learning how to accept uncomfortable times.
Yes.
And accept the good times, but it's okay to feel it and get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved that. I'm like, I'm going to take that away. That's for sure.
Yeah. Get comfy with being uncomfy.
Thank you for sharing that too. That's really impactful and powerful. Crew, please share the love with Michelle. Go check out her foundation. Go check out Homework and Hoops, and just like be involved in that if you can. Thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you? I already know your handles, but I like to let people shout them out themselves.
Oh, I love that. Yes. You can find me on Instagram just with Michelle Young or the MY Foundation. You can also find me on TikTok, Michelle Young, Twitter, Michelle Young. Does anyone use Threads anymore?
I'm not going to lie. I never downloaded it. Michelle, that's so embarrassing. Young,
I think mine automatically connected, but I don't know how much I've actually posted on it, but
I might use it. But forever.
I feel like this is not going to be the last time we speak or last time we kind of like do this.
No,
obviously we're going to grab dinner and other things, but this has been awesome. I love what you're doing here. I love what you're building and everything. And
thank
it's
you.
Just such a wonderful community. And yeah, Minnesotans, I don't know. I feel like we need to just get all the great Minnesotans together.
A great Minnesota get together.
Yeah, yeah.
We do.
But like just like, you know, building a community where you can actually in person lean on each other can kind of really go a long way too. And mm-hmm. people who resonate with everything. We might have to do like an advice column in person.
I know. I think that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah. Did you still want to do those?
Yeah. Like yes.
The advice pieces?
Yes.
Let's do
like
it.
Like a ton. Oh, you want to want to hear like one
did
of these?
You want, did you
do
want
we have time?
Yeah.
You sure?
What time is it?
Okay. Well, it's 6:13.
We're fine.
We're fine.
Yeah,
why don't we do one?
Okay.
Why don't we just do one? Okay. This one says, this is another call Sid, but it's a write-in. So I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
I believe we read it on the live episode, my sister and I, but we didn't get to record it because there was one mic and it was a little bit wonky. So all my people out there who didn't get to hear this, I'm like, and if you were at the event, the 200-ish of you, then you get to hear it one more time. Okay.
I love that.
All right. Friendships in your 20s. It says, how do you know when you should let go of a friendship or fight for it? I've been friends with a few girls since college and one since high school. And lately it seems like we're drifting apart. They'll make plans and form like a subgroup message and hang out while excluding a few of us. There was never a fight between any of us or anything like that, but a couple of girls in the friend group have just been more exclusive lately. I'm trying not to take it personally, but it's hard not to at this point. Should I just try to plan more things with the whole friend group and maybe they'll stop making subgroup plans? Or should I create my own subgroup without them? I don't want drama, but why are adult friendships weird sometimes and harder than they need to be? I don't think it's hard to just text the whole group message. Note, there's only 6 of us in the group, not massive or anything. I've also addressed this issue with one of the girls in the group being exclusive. She apologized and wasn't aware what she was doing and said she'll work on it. but the problems haven't gotten better. I just don't know what to do at this point. If I say peace out, I'm over it. I can have fewer friends for the better. Or do I fight for this? We were all so close at one point. Makes me so sad. Any advice helps. Love, another Minnesota girl.
Ooh, I feel like there's, I feel like everyone can relate to this.
I know, that's kind of why I
picked
it.
For the most part. Oh gosh, that is, that's that age where we kind of spoke about this.
Oh yeah.
Where you, it hurts. It hurts when, if you're the one getting excluded, but you will get to a point where you realize, why are you spending energy or effort on people where it's not reciprocated?
Exactly.
And it sucks, but I think if you rephrase it or look at it as, I use the word refocus.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't, you know, she said drama, that you don't want it to be dramatic. You, mm-hmm. you know, can create your own subgroup, but is the reason why you're doing that just because they have their own subgroup? So if you look at it as a refocus, so when you refocus, you focus on the people who are investing energy in you and you're investing energy in them. So if, like, if you never text them, will you hear from them again? If you create a huge group chat and invite everybody, I've been there, invite everybody so that, like, you're included and then everybody's included, that's great, but that's you putting energy in and it's not reciprocated or being reciprocated. So refocus, like, it hurts and it sucks, but it's like such a big lesson to learn, is you shouldn't invest energy in anybody who's not investing energy in you.
Completely.
And so it, yeah. Oh, that
20s
age.
Are hard.
God, the age sucks. Just
20s
and
in
it's
general.
So frustrating. It's so frustrating, but it's like, know your value, know your worth. Mm-hmm. And what kind of friend you are, what kind of friend you deserve, set your standard. Yeah. Doesn't have to be this huge falling out. Doesn't have to be this huge confrontational thing. But it's like, hey, they clearly are creating their own group. You know, if I really want someone to be there, I'm going to make sure I text them because I want them to be there. Because I want to be around them. I want them to enjoy the experience. I want to hang out with them. But if they're just, you know, kind of on their own page, doing their own thing, or sometimes people get naturally closer. Yep. That's totally fine. Refocus. There's definitely people who are out there that you'll connect more with. I guarantee it.
Especially when you take your energy off of the people that you're diving into who are not reciprocating it.
Right.
I think 20s are tough. I think making friends are tough.
Yeah.
But what's tougher is feeling excluded and feeling like you're not a priority with your people.
Right.
If you don't feel like a priority with your people, you are not surrounding yourself with the right people. Right.
Correct.
And putting your energy, like you said, into people that are not giving back to you. I like to think I gave my all. Like, let's say you reached out one more time and you were like, let's get together. Or like, maybe you reach out to the ones that you really, really love in the friend group. Maybe you genuinely don't love everybody in the friend group. And that's also okay. Reach out to the ones that mean a lot to you. See if you can spend a little one-on-one quality time with them.
Yes.
See if that's reciprocated. See if that, how that energy and that time goes. Does it feel good? And if it doesn't, it's time to move on, you know, and maybe spending your energy towards opening yourself up to new friends is going to feel a lot better. Like friends that are working out like you are, or going to work at coffee shops like you were talking about during the work week, like you are, and just relating to new types of people who are looking and searching actively for friends because they're out there and there's millions of them. We just close ourselves off because we feel like, well, these people I want to hang out with don't want to hang out with me, or like, so it feels.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you said be open, because especially when you are you have this like hurt that you're feeling and then, you know, you might decide to refocus, but you still have that and you still, you don't feel as close to them, but you know how close you were.
Yeah.
Don't go into like hanging out or an activity with that new friend. Let's say you go meet somebody, you decide to go do a workout.
Yeah.
It's okay. You guys don't have to be best friends right off the bat.
That's not normal anyway.
Right? It's like, you're not replacing anybody. Like, you're not bouncing from one thing to the next to replace anything, but like, you're just spending your time elsewhere. And so you're going to go in, it takes time to build a friendship. And so it's like, some of my closest friendships now are ones where I did refocus and I ended up starting to spend time with them, but it did take a little bit to get to know them. And then you do become really close. So it's not going to always happen right away. And it's going to suck for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It is.
It's going to suck, but it does get easier.
It does.
And it's you're already feeling like shit. So you're already feeling like shit with not being invited and feeling like you're putting more effort anyways. And so you're going to either like feel like shit with continuing to be excluded, or you can kind of be a little more uncomfortable with refocusing again.
Love.
Don't have to hate them, but you're still uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable in either situation. Let's just be uncomfortable on the track that's going to get you out of being uncomfortable quicker.
Yes.
Because staying in that. It, you know what I'm saying? Like staying in it a little bit, like this kind of sounds like it might be a cycle.
You'll know when it's time to leave. And if your gut's like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah. It's time to exit. Yeah. So know there's people out there looking for the same thing as you. Mm-hmm. Know that losing a friendship or like separating yourself doesn't mean that they're lost or gone. It just might mean that you're going to like you said, refocus your energy, refocus. So I love your response on that.
Yeah.
I really do. That was perfect. I'm like, I love the call, Sids. Like I said the number earlier, 612-470-7569. If you want to call me, beat me. If you want to reach me, that's where it is. As Kim Possible would say.
So nostalgic.
I know, right? Thank you again for being here. I appreciate the convo. It was a blast. This was so much fun. You guys go give Michelle some love, get connected with her, do all the things. You know where to find me at Well Said Podcast and at Well Said Sid. I think I changed my handle too. Oh my God. I have to like think about that.
Yeah.
And go get on YouTube if you can. It helps me. I'm still a few away from 10K. And once I hit 10K, I'll vlog a few times. Okay. So I'll let you see like the BTS of my life. I've decided that's what I'm going to do. So there's your little carrot. So I'm dangling the carrot. Literally, I am the carrot today in my orange hoodie or sweatshirt, I should say, whatever. Crew, we will talk to you next week. Michelle, thanks again for being here and talk to you all soon. Bye.
Bye.